This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well, now it is indeed a pleasure to be back in your vibrational level once again, and we would like to take a moment to express our greetings to each of you, and as well to express our gratitude for your once again offering us this opportunity to enter into and to share with each of you in your reality, in your vibrational level. And before we begin on this afternoon, we would suggest once again that there exists for you that opportunity to be involved in what we like to refer to as the silent communication, or a telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that will be with us on this afternoon. And you will find that as a result of the energy that you have created in this space, that it's quite easy for you to alter your consciousness and to enter into what you might refer to as a meditative state, and in that altered state of consciousness, participate in that telepathic exchange of information, that silent communication. You have but to close your eyes and express the intent, and that opportunity most certainly exists for each of you. But as always, of course, that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, you exist in what we like to refer to as a vibrational level. You exist in a reality that is similar to all other realities that exist throughout all of creation. And yet in your vibrational level, in your reality, there is that significant difference in that you put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that we like to refer to as the veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. Not only limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are, but limits your capacity to understand that this reality that you are existing in your awakened consciousness state is very much illusionary. It doesn't mean it's insignificant. You see, the problem with attempting to give an explanation through the utilization of some vocabulary is that certain phrases or meaning words carry with them a meaning that is not specifically what we wish to portray to you. In other words, this illusion does not mean that it's insignificant or not important. Absolutely not. It's very important to each of you. But nonetheless, an illusion. It is the most illusionary reality that you will exist in your awakened consciousness state, in your altered state of consciousness, in your meditative state, in your dream state, in your in-between incarnation state, when you die, in other words. At those levels of consciousness, you are much closer to the real reality than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. Even in those altered states of consciousness, you continue to put in place and to maintain that veil, that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. And when you're in your dream state, you are very close to being in that in-between incarnational state, that state where your consciousness exists, if you wish, when you die, when you terminate this incarnational period. And in those levels of consciousness, you become quite aware that there are other realities existing around you in the same time and same space. But you once again maintain that veil, and as you come back into your awakened consciousness state, what you experienced in those altered states of consciousness, particularly in the dream state and in that between incarnational state, is very difficult for you to recall in your awakened consciousness state. You go to great lengths to make it difficult for you to recall. It is possible, however, to enter into a meditative state, and in that meditative state, have that opportunity to come in contact with that spark of consciousness that you are, to experience that unconditional love from which you create this reality. to have that knowing and to bring it into your consciousness and to be aware that at some level you absolutely understand that this reality is so much more than what you experience. You are so much more than what you in your awakened consciousness state view as yourself to be. You see, in your awakened consciousness state, this is a concept that you are somehow a separate entity from the Ash-Other. In a sense, you are a separate entity, and yet you are one. You are all that is. There is not one entity existing in this vibrational level or in any other vibrational level who is any more or any less than what he has to view are. You are all that is. You are the God you search for. You are all that is. And yet, when we attempt to give you some type of an explanation, for example, to suggest that you are a piece of the One, is not really an accurate explanation, because you are the One. You are not separate. And yet you are separate in that you have your own personalities, your own individual, multidimensional personalities and realities that you exist in. And yet you are one. And therein lies the difficulty to give an explanation that carries with it all types of seemingly paradoxes. How can that be? How can we be one and yet separate? How can we be all that is, and yet each individual is all that is? If you are all that is, then you are also nothing. It defies explanation. It can't be written down in a book. Whenever anyone tries to give some type of an explanation, it always falls short. It always leaves people searching. And the answers are within each of you. You're not going to find it by listening to some type of a recording, listening to some strange entity who exists in another vibrational level suggesting to you how it is that you correct your reality and who and what you truly are. You're not going to find it written in a book. It's with inside the attribute. Go with inside. Go with inside. You see, this reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, not only is it illusionary, but it's absolutely your creation. Your creation, in conjunction with other entities existing within your vibrational level, in interaction, in an agreement to participate. There is not one instance in this reality that you experience in your awakened consciousness state that is just some type of coincidence, that it's accidental. Absolutely not. It's not. It's your creation. Absolutely every aspect of the reality is your creation. You see, we can suggest to you that you can control certain elements within your conscious state, and you can accept that. We can suggest, for example, that you have absolute understanding that you can decide what time you may retire and what time your alarm clock or whatever device you utilize to wake you up in the morning will accomplish that feat. You understand and believe absolutely that you have control of certain elements of your life. But there are other elements that are much more difficult for you to understand that you have control of. Finances, for example, abundance, oh, now that's real. I can set the alarm and I can understand and control that part of my life, but when I walk out of my door and I'm into the real world, then it becomes much harder for me to accept that I understand and that I create it all. Relationships, now there's a very difficult one. To grasp that concept and understanding that the relationships absolutely are within your control. You create it all. It's an illusion. And when we suggest that you create it all, we're not just talking about the interactions that you have with each other on your day-to-day activities. We're talking about you create it all. You create your universe. You exist within each and every atom of your entire universe. You are all that is. It's an illusion. You, in your awakened consciousness back into various other levels of your consciousness, continue to maintain that veil that makes it very difficult for you to grasp that understanding, that it's an illusion, that it's within your control. Very difficult, and yet not impossible. Just difficult for you to grasp, because you choose to make it difficult. You're not pushy about some entity that says you have to go through some sort of a growth process, or that some entity is going to control how your reality goes. You can have that if you wish. You see, the irony of it is that whatever it is that you desire is what you correct in your reality. It's not right or wrong, it's what you desire, it's what you expect to come into your reality. And so that stock of consciousness that you are gives you that which you desire without exception. It gives to you exactly what you desire. You may in your conscious state not be aware of what it is that you desire, but you're making all types of choices and decisions. You're holding belief systems. You have these thoughts and feelings that are influencing your belief systems and your choices and your decisions. And that in turn is influencing the reality that you are experiencing and creating. It's all your creation. What do you desire? Do you desire certain elements consciously? Or do you simply desire by default? I'll take what comes along, I believe in faith. You see, once again, that stock of consciousness that you are doesn't judge whether one is superior to the other or whether one is right or wrong. It gives to you that which you desire without judgment. There is no judgment from that stock of consciousness from which you create your reality, from that position of absolute and unconditional love. It gives to you that which you desire and rejoices in the creation process. It never looks at you in the morning and say, well, I don't think that they should experience this type of a reality because that's not a very good one. So we're going to make this reality so they have a more enjoyable day. Absolutely not. That's your choice. In a conscious level, the stock of consciousness has no such desire to make those choices for you, but rather give to you that which you desire to experience and rejoices in the creation without the judgment of whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, desirable or less than desirable. Those judgments are ones that you make in your awakened consciousness state. And so you create this reality. Whether you choose to believe that or not is really immaterial. If you choose not to believe that you're in control, that's a belief that you hold. And consequently, the reality that you experience will validate the belief. And yet there are those that you look upon who seem to have no trouble understanding and correcting certain elements in their reality. And you wonder, how is that so? And it's because that individual desires that. Not only desires that, but utilizes the imagination to bring that into the reality, what it's going to be like. But more importantly, and perhaps the hardest part of that whole creation process, is that they hold the expectation. You see, it's important that you understand what it is that you desire, absolutely. And utilizing your imagination can assist in bringing that type of reality into your awakened consciousness state, absolutely. Consider that each of your so-called inventions are the result of someone utilizing their imagination, what it is that they desire. But once again, the hard part is the expectation. You see, it doesn't matter if you desire to be involved in various types of relationships or if you're involved to, once again, have what we refer to as that abundance. And it doesn't matter if you desire to have good health, for example. It really makes no difference what it is that you desire and what it is that you imagine if you don't have the expectation that you can create it. Then you create by default. You still get it. You're still correct. That's the irony. You do it all regardless of whether or not you choose to believe that you're in control. You came into this vibrational level. You entered into this reality to give up the understanding that you are absolutely in control so that you can experience the intense range of emotions and feelings that are not possible for you to experience and to understand when you understand that you are absolutely in control of the reality that you're creating. And so it's really that simple. You put aside, you hide from that understanding of who and what you truly are, so that the reality seems real, so that it appears that it's beyond your control, so that it appears that there are other various elements or individuals or even for some there are the guides and angels who are influencing their reality. You can have that if you wish. It's not right or wrong. It's a choice that you make.
You see, even to do absolutely nothing requires a choice. Your entire existence from day to day requires a multitude of choices. And those choices, once again, are based upon your thoughts and feelings, based upon what it is that you believe, what do you desire, and what do you expect. And so expectation can be a very difficult concept for many to grasp and to bring into their reality. Because you see, in order to have the expectation, you must believe that you are worthy of creating that reality. You must believe that it's not difficult for you to create that reality. So why we very seldom give instructions for what you should do, because it's your choice. You do whatever it is that you desire, whatever it is that you wish, and we are in full support of it all. But nonetheless, in order to begin to have that expectation, it's necessary that you like who you are. How can you bring into your reality something that you desire, that you utilize your imagination, but then you think, well, I'm not worthy. I don't like who I am. Others don't like who I am. The irony of it is, if you don't like who you are, then there are others who are not going to like who you are. It's like you give off that type of the understanding, an energy, if you wish. And people pick up on that. And so how do you fix that? How do you change that? We would suggest that a very simple method of changing it is to make a list of what you believe to be your top principles that you would like to apply to your day-to-day experiences. And you see, you create the experiences, you create the opportunities to apply the principles. But nonetheless, in your awakened consciousness state, you only hold that belief that you're not in control of it all. There has to be the fact that my neighbor's out there and needs assistance, and so I go give them assistance, without understanding that you put in place all of those opportunities for you to experience that type of a reality, so that each of you can experience the emotions and feelings that are as the result of that interaction. And so you create it, but nonetheless it gives you the opportunity to apply your principles. And it's important that the principles are principles that you put in place for yourself. You're not trying to impress others. This is not necessary. You're trying to impress yourself. You're trying to become what you desire to be. And you lack yourself. And so put in place the principles and apply the principles when the opportunity presents itself. And once again, it's important that the principles are your principles. Many times, when individuals are involved in the type of reality creation process, and they're having difficulty in feeling that they are worthy of what it is that they desire. They lack that expectation. And so when they're applying the principles and they fail, they consequently have tendency to concentrate on that failure and think, look at, I can't do this. I failed. Ironically, in any other activity you're involved in your so-called reality process, if you look to complete 9 out of 10 times whatever your task is, you would consider that to be very, very successful. And yet in certain instances, when it is something that you utilize to justify that feeling that you don't like who you are, then you fail once, and all of the other 9 times are simply put away. I failed once, I can't do this. Absolutely not. You pay attention to the times that you succeed. You pay attention, and you rejoice, and are grateful. And an amazing thing happens. You begin to strengthen your character. And as a consequence of strengthening your character, you begin to like who you are. And then another amazing thing occurs. Other individuals begin to like who you are. And you begin to experience an alteration in your reality. You see, when you accept who you are, when you grasp that understanding that you are all that is, when you begin to own that understanding, then your whole reality changes. And many times with that change comes an alteration in your relationships. And so individuals that you once felt that you were very attracted to suddenly do not appear to be so attractive anymore. And they in turn begin to see you differently and find out that maybe you're not nearly as attractive to them as what you thought you were. We have suggested to a friend Elias that once you know, you cannot go back. You cannot unknow. And so when you begin to accept, and you begin to see changes in your reality because you begin to like who you are, then you begin to change as well many of the relationships that you're involved in. And you cannot return. You cannot unknow what you learned. You cannot go back. But when you begin to like yourself, then you begin to create the opportunity for the next step. And that is to love yourself consciously. You see, the reality that you experience comes from a position of absolute unconditional love. And you choose in this vibrational level to maintain that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand and to hold within your consciousness that understanding of absolute unconditional love. It's very difficult. Not impossible, but very, very difficult. Because you choose to hide from it. You choose to believe you're not in control. And it's for a very simple reason. It's so that the emotions and feelings that you are experiencing as a result of these seemingly uncontrollable events are much more intense than if you absolutely realize that you're in control. When you understand that you're in control and that you correct from a position of absolute unconditional love, then there's only one experience that grows, and that's the unconditional love. And you have chosen to hide from that understanding for that opportunity to experience that intense range of emotions and feelings. And we would challenge each of you to look at any activity that you're involved in and to break it down to the basis of why you're involved in it. And ultimately you will come to the conclusion that it's because you wish to create some part of a reality to experience certain ranges of emotions and feelings. What you don't understand is that even if it's what in your awakened consciousness state you view as being a negative emotion or feeling or a negative reality, you nonetheless create it to validate the beliefs that you hold based upon your choices and decisions, based upon your thoughts and feelings, based upon your expectations. And so when you like who you are, then you begin to have the opportunity to love yourself consciously. It's very difficult to experience love for another if you don't love yourself. How can you give something if you don't understand what that experience is? And yet it's not difficult to get there. It takes some effort. It takes an effort to be involved in a loving relationship. Absolutely. But it's not difficult. It just requires the effort. And there are certain things that you do. You see, being in love is very simple. There's that emotional expression in there, is that seemingly immediate attraction and interaction, and whether it's with someone that's a member in your family or someone that's not a member of your family, someone that you believe is somehow separated from you, but they're really not. You see, at some level you've agreed to participate. But nonetheless, when you feel that attraction, it's easy to feel and to express the love. But it takes doing in order to maintain that and to make it real and to make it so that you can experience the full meaning of love, first for yourself, then for others. You do certain things. You give. You give so that the other individual can experience a sense of joy can experience a sense of exception, can experience a sense of knowing, can experience a sense of commitment, you give. And that gift must be unconditional. You see, many times you're involved in a relationship with someone that you are in a loving relationship with, and you make agreements that providing that certain conditions are followed, then you will indeed give or at least assist in some effort. And that's what you do in your society. It's how your society functions. It's how you function within a family unit, if you want. There are limitations. There are certain conditions put on these so-called gifts. If you're going to assist someone, for example, to attend some type of an education facility, then you assist, but perhaps there's this condition. You assist only as long as that individual is applying themselves and showing some type of progress. When that stops, then the assistance stops. That's not a gift. That's a contract. That's an interaction between two individuals. When you give a gift of love, it must not have conditions. There must be no feeling that you must be obligated. And you give it to yourself as well as to others. You give it to yourself so that you can experience those feelings of joy, those feelings of being needed, if you wish, those feelings of being accepted, those feelings of knowing who you are, and so you give. And you allow another to be known. You see, intimacy involves knowing. Intimacy involves allowing another to be known without fear of ridicule. Intimacy allows one to express their innermost thoughts without fear that there will be some condemnation or ridicule or rejection. You do that first for yourself and then for another in an expression of love. You commit. Not a commitment that requires that you go in front of a group of people and swear to those individuals the commitment, but a commitment that comes from within God. A commitment that you make first to yourself to be who and what you truly wish to be, to love yourself, and then express that same commitment to another without conditions. It's important that you throw away the conditions when you're involved in an act of interchanging love with another, or indeed love for yourself. When you put conditions on, it becomes a contract. It's not an expression of love, it's an interaction. Nothing wrong with that. You operate and utilize contracts and agreements throughout your entire society. It makes limitations, it makes it work, it functions better, absolutely. But don't misunderstand that and assume that that's love. It may arise out of someone that you were in love with, but it's not an expression of love. There are no conditions in an expression of love. And so you allow another to experience that commitment, knowing that there are no conditions. You don't have to follow any rules in order for that commitment to remain. First yourself, then for another. Intimacy. You allow it to be intimate, first with yourself, then with another. Intimacy. Intimacy is not just a physical intimacy, but an intimacy which is much deeper, like a connection of what you would refer to as your soul. An intimacy that allows you that ability to be vulnerable without fear of rejection. It allows you to be known without fear of ridicule. It allows you to express those doubts and those fears with the understanding that there will be no judgment, but only assistance. Intimacy very necessary in an expression of love. Once again, first for yourself, then for another. To trust. To allow another to trust you. A very, very powerful exchange. To trust yourself. Absolutely. You see, trust is a very complicated situation. To be involved in a trusting situation, there must be the potential for you to have a loss. If you're not about to lose anything, then why would you enter into any type of imaginary trusting situation? There must be a potential loss. And you must as well believe that that other individual can be trusted. And therein lies that expression of love. For if you don't believe that you can trust someone, then it's very difficult, absolutely, to feel that love that we are attempting to express, both for yourself and for another. And so, that trust is based upon this absolute belief that the individual or yourself can be trusted. An expression of love. Absolutely. And all of those expressions are put in place to allow an individual to feel joy. To allow an individual to feel security. To allow an individual to feel intimacy. To allow an individual to feel a commitment. To allow the individual to know. To know absolutely that there are no conditions. That the love is unconditional. Each of you has that capacity. Absolutely. Each of you. Each of you has the capacity to alter your consciousness and to go within inside and to get a glimpse of who and what you truly are. To get a glimpse of that spark of consciousness, that absolute unconditional love from which you create this reality. And to bring it into your conscious state. To allow it to influence your day-to-day activities. To understand what it is to love yourself, and consequently understand what it is to love and to be loved by another. It's available to each of you. What do you believe? Are you willing to work on that, liking who you are and loving yourself in order to enhance the expectation to bring into your reality that which you desire? Do you know what it is that you desire? What are the important elements that you desire in your reality? And do you utilize your imagination with the understanding that you need the expectation? Pay attention to your thoughts and feelings, your spontaneous attitudes. They influence your choices and decisions, which influence the reality that you experience in your day-to-day activities. It's really that simple. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold, without exception. And we understand that it's a combination of beliefs that range from the societal belief systems and the human consciousness belief systems and the individual belief systems all interacting to influence and create your reality. Absolutely. But it's within your capacity to alter those belief systems and to create the reality that you desire. You are all that is. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. And while you choose to hide from that understanding with this electromagnetic type of energy that you utilize throughout your vibrational level, throughout your entire universe, nonetheless, you cannot fail to come to the understanding of who and what you truly are. This is a no-fail operation that you're involved in. You don't have to learn in order to somehow progress, unless of course you desire that that's a reality that you would like to experience, but it's important to understand that it's your choice, that it's your belief system. It's not right or wrong, you can have it, absolutely. If you choose to believe you're not in control and you like the reality that that brings to you, go for it. It's your choice. But if you wish to have that capacity to influence your reality consciously, then liking who you are and willing to love yourself consciously and to have that capacity to express that love to others will greatly enhance your ability to consciously influence and create your reality. The choice is yours. The trust is always yours. Now, we would break for a moment or two, and if you have any questions, we would be willing to return and attempt to answer them for you. And in the meantime, we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. And should you choose to interact with us, you have but to offer the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with the rest of you. And so we would bid you farewell with love and with peace.